Welcome back to the Excellence Born to Trade podcast. We are joined here today with Michael Stark, an experienced trading specialist. We're here to explore one of the most crucial questions in the world of trading. Is longevity the key to success? Welcome, Michael. Nice to meet you.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Over the course of this conversation, we definitely want to discuss about some strategies, mindsets, and learn from some of your lessons. I understand that you're a very experienced trader. How long have you been trading for?
Probably only about 11 years. So I would consider myself moderately experienced. But, you know, compared with various people who, you know, here at Exynos and other places, not super experienced. But I think some amount of experience anyway.
Got it. So 11 years of trading, obviously longevity's definitely played a key to your continued success, would you say?
Yes, definitely, I would think so. I think it's longevity combined with consistency. You know, it's good to be trading for a long time, but if you're constantly going from ups and downs, as opposed to keeping some reasonable level of consistency, I think it's important to frame it as being longevity and consistency working together, hopefully to bring you success, whatever success means for you.
Got it. In our previous episode with Dennis, he was mentioning longevity and being the keys to his success. Now, 11 years of trading, I could imagine that it wasn't always success. In your early stages, were you finding success difficult? And if so, what was the reasons for those challenges?
Yeah, definitely. Initially, the first couple of years found success difficult. But then I think that I came in with the right mindset and expected, okay, this is going to be difficult. Trading is not for everybody. Not everybody can learn to trade. And if you do want to learn to trade, then you do need to persevere and you need to also have the right mindset. You need to be able to admit when you were wrong. You know, whereas if you go in with the mindset of I'm right, everybody else is an idiot, which not very many traders do, but some do. Those are the ones who usually tend to fail the worst. Whereas the ones who generally tend to succeed most have a degree of humility and an ability to second guess themselves and admit that they were wrong and crucially learn from the mistakes.
So being in the market for 11 years now, it's quite a long time. Many traders are new. So what would you say has changed the most in trading overall from your early days up until now?
I think honestly, to be brutally honest, it would be trust in brokers. Your ability to trust your broker, the broker will execute the trade correctly. The broker will give you your money back when you ask for it. I think these are some of the things that have changed the most. Now, of course, you know, back in 2013 and before, the very big brokers then I think were certainly trustworthy. There were just a lot of small, dubiously regulated ones, which were questionable, let's say, if not necessarily fully untrustworthy. Whereas now I think definitely like there's a much greater trend towards audited financial statements. And there's also a much greater trend, I think, towards having more reliable reviews of brokers online. So I think trust definitely is something that has increased, which is a good thing.
The consumer over the last, what I've seen in the last 15 years. And, you know, obviously I look back 15 years ago, trust in brokers and regulations, this wasn't so important. You know, more people were looking for education. And if you're a broker that could provide that education, you can naturally, you know, acquire clients. But as you said, these days, there's more horror stories and positive stories. And this is why I think that, you know, the credibility and the trust has played far more a factor of a role for the consumer. But trading for 11 years, obviously you enjoy it. So tell me, what excites you about trading?
It's an element of the uncertainty, like in the, okay, investing in the traditional sense of investing has some uncertainties with it, but they usually don't pan out very quickly. Whereas with trading, I suppose it's kind of seeing the chart, especially if you're scalping the news or if you're day trading, seeing the chart and how quickly it moves. And in some cases, you know, having a certain large amount of money on the line is kind of thrilling. You know, I would stress that it's not a good idea to emphasize that too much, because then if you're emphasizing too much on the thrill and, oh, I'm having a fun time trading, then the logical element of it can be discarded, which is not what you want to do, because often you're going to end up losing. And also, I think what I like about trading is you can see in more or less real time, in many cases, what the effects are of various different factors on markets, like politics, diplomacy, war, in some cases, and other different factors. You can see more or less real time, this is how this market is reacting. And also, I think how it impacts on longer term investments, you know, when you're looking at, let's say, monetary policy right now, for example, and how people are trying to expect what's going to happen with the Fed or the ECB, how is it going to affect our mortgages, which is directly relevant in the long term. Also, in the short term, markets are moving on these kinds of shifting expectations and what people think the central banks are going to do.
So let's jump into the main topic, which is longevity. So from my personal experience and just from what I've seen in, you know, amongst other traders and communities that I've been around is many traders will start trading, they'll see early success, and this early success will generally do many things. It will give them unrealistic expectations. It will give them confidence that maybe they shouldn't have. It will give them greed and other emotions, which can be very, let's say, debilitating to longevity. So in your opinion, what role does longevity play in a trader's success?
I think the main thing is, as I was saying at the start, combining it with consistency. Like if you can keep doing more or less consistently the same thing that you've tested in the past and you found that it works, then adding longevity into that means that you consistently make money. Because somebody could be, for want of a better term, addicted to trading, inverted commas, and it could be they're losing money hand over fist every month, but they're having a great time for some reason doing that, and they keep depositing more and more money, and so they have a certain degree of longevity. But I mean, that's not really what I would be talking about. When I say success, I mean like at least learning new things, you know, and not just purely throwing money away, because there's no point in that at all, of course. And I kind of implicitly, with the head of an investor, think that it involves profit over the long term, at least some degree of profit to be considered success.
So let's look at longevity and your personal trading career. So 11 years, how did you do it?
I suppose the main thing is having realistic expectations. Like in some specific circumstances when, I think it's meant to be Warren Buffett probably, or maybe it's Charlie Munger, probably it's Warren Buffett who says, when everybody else is greedy, you should be fearful. And when everybody else is fearful, you should be greedy. And I think that also definitely applies to trading. Because I mean, one of the first kind of big events that I remember when I was a really new trader was the depegging of the Swiss franc from the euro in 2014. And yes, and at the time, of course, it was an absolute hot mess. Like brokers went bankrupt. People took to forums, complained, they lost their life savings. Like you name it, you know, anything.
I think that actually event is what created or the create this negative balance protection.
Yes.
I think that was the instigator for sure.
Yes. And at the time, you know, me being, I suppose, kind of a naturally risk-averse person, I thought, okay, I can see this happening. I can see the size of these candlesticks even on quite high time frames. Let's just stop here and let's see what's going on. And then once we understand what's actually happening, then let's actually do something. So that kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily reluctance, but caution when you have some kind of really big movement or some very big and important news, I think is something that's kind of helped me to continue. And it's true, of course, the other side of the coin there is that if I had been less cautious in some circumstances, I would have made more money. But as it is, I think it's probably better for me at least to be slightly too cautious than to be too aggressive.
Got it. So with that being said, I mean, how do you incorporate a strategy which has longevity? Because, you know, if people are doing day trading and if they're not exercising, let's say, good risk management, they won't stay in the game. So how do you suggest a new trader or any trader do this and apply this to their trading strategy?
I think the best thing would be to set a fairly hard limit in terms of how much you can lose in a day and in a week and in a month. So, of course, how much that is depends very much on the person. But I mean, for me personally, usually I set a limit of 10% is the maximum loss per month, 5% per week, and then 2% maximum loss per trade.
So you start with the initial, let's say, investment.
Yep.
And then per day, or you go per weekly and per monthly, you have limits in terms of, so what happens? So let's say you hit that. Do you have a profit limit as well? If you've reached certain profit limits in a weekly or monthly that you also stop trading also?
Yeah.
Got it.
And the profit limit is double the loss limit. So theoretically, you know, law of averages, law of large numbers, over time you make money. And that's what has happened to me generally.
You know, I've been around traders who they'll tell me, Nima, you know, I am successful. I'm profitable on, let's say, 80% of my trades. I'm like, wow, that's what's going on. I want to learn. Let's see what's going on. When I look further, some of these traders have actually, they're loss making. So they're basically closing their trades at minimal profits way prior to any exit that they had intended for. And then, but when they're losing big. So I see people that are considered successful traders in the terms of the odds of what their trades are, but actually they're losing money. How do you see this?
I think it's just not very good risk management. And I think that's the key thing, because while I try to apply this limit of 2-to-1 of, you know, profit limit with loss limit, I think that also works with individual trades. I think the key, perhaps the most important practical rule for traders is the potential loss from any trade can never be bigger than the potential profit from that the same trade. And I think if it, in almost all circumstances, it's much better to make the potential profit bigger, you know, like a 1-to-2 ratio where possible. Obviously, a scalper can't do that. But even if a scalper can use a ratio of 1-to-1.2, 1-to-1.5, then that just means even if you're wrong about the direction more than half the time, you can still make money. And I mean, it seems like common sense to me because I've been doing it for a number of years, but I think it's really important to think about that, even if it seems totally obvious, and try to apply it.
So would you say that exercising good risk management will allow, let's say, the trader to handle the upturns and downturns in the market?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Would you say that longevity will, having longevity and longevity could be created, someone just has a lot of capital and they can keep on reinvesting. Yes. So they're trading for a long time. Also, it could mean that they're profitable. So what concerns me is the longevity of a trader who is consistently losing.
Yeah.
From your experience, personal experience, or just overall experience, what would you say are like the top one or two reasons why traders are not successful?
I think the top theoretical reason is probably greed. In that people start and keep going with just totally unrealistic expectations of what they could achieve. You know, it's not impossible to double your balance in 2 months. It's just so unlikely that it's effectively impossible. And I think a lot of people go in with this expectation of like, you know, there's the money growing on trees. I just need to pull it out of the screen and it's mine. It doesn't actually work like that. You need to make some effort and you need to also have realistic expectations. I think the most practical, most common practical mistake would be not setting appropriate stops, like just using stops that are too close and too easily triggered prematurely, or stops that are too far away and lose too much of the, as a percentage, too much of the balance of the account, then the trader doesn't have any opportunity to actually learn from what went wrong.
So prior to opening the trade, I'm setting an amount that I want to risk.
Yeah.
And then I'm setting my stop loss based on that risk and I'm leaving it.
Yeah, I think so, more or less. And I mean, what you certainly can do is you can use a trailing stop, or you can move your stop into profit. I think is a great technique to move the stop into profit. And then you protect your rolling profit that way, and a kind of manual trailing stop. That's really important. But I mean, leaving the emotional part, but not actually leaving the practical part, if you see what I mean.
Well, it's funny you mentioned about stops. So I learned to become good with risk management because that was, you know, my failure. But I worked with multiple brokers where they wouldn't allow me to set my stop loss at the spot rate. You know, that was wider, you know, maybe 7 pips, 10 pips, which is quite high. This leads me into about brokers. And I mean, brokers, they all have kind of different, let's say, revenue models and how they do business, let's say, for better or worse. What would you say that if a new trader or someone who's a trader or even an experienced trader, if they're looking for a broker that has got their best interest at heart, let's say, or perceived best interest, what would you say is some things that a prospective trader should be looking for from a broker?
I think probably one of the main ones is it kind of at least vaguely approximates the real market, inverted commas. That is to say, like, even if I'm a small trader and I only want to deposit $200, I should get more or less similar conditions to if I was depositing hundreds of thousands or millions with a big market maker. And of course, it's never going to be exactly the same because of different platforms and systems and so on, but it should be at least broadly similar. So that's one factor. And that comes under that, and various things come under that, like the execution should be reasonably quick. And it also comes under, I think the platform should be functional. It's a very important thing. You should be able to have some kind of access to support and information for when you need it. And it should also, I think, keep you updated through notifications and emails about anything that's relevant. And it should be, I think, functional to manage your account and to move money into different places at different times. And I think it should also, where possible, consider your personal circumstances. That is to say, like, let's say, for example, somebody has religious objections to interest. For example, it should cater for that. If I have a religious objection to interest, it should offer swap free for that reason, you know, not for somebody to exploit it for other reasons.
That's a good point with, you know, swaps. They can be a big cost for the trader to incur. So how do you feel that trading costs can actually affect or impact trading longevity?
I think the main way that it can, or it has in the past for me, impacted it is when spreads increase significantly outside. So, and it also spreads widening around news, I think specifically is something that can really affect. So that's why, for me, XNES is actually really good with that because it doesn't widen the spread significantly. And also for most circumstances in which you're trading, you can get, for the main instruments, the most popular ones, you can get swap-free regardless. And I think also the last point on this is it is very good for scalpers to consider commission-based instead of spread-based, you know, so raw spread or a zero account. It offers all these different options. You can combine, you can have purely spread-based or you can go with commission only. And having that flexibility, I think, is something important. Because when I first started, everything had a spread. There wasn't any way, even if you're a highly focused scalper, there's no way that you can get commission only. Whereas now I think brokers have increasingly realized if we give the clients what they want more, then they're more likely to stay with us.
Yeah, end of the day, I mean, the trading fees are ultimately eating into the profits and increasing losses. And obviously, you know, trading with a transparent broker is important. Trading with a broker like XNest, super transparent, you know, fee structure, cost structure, swap free, et cetera. But how can traders actually keep track of these fees and costs and ensure they're maximizing their profit? What do you recommend?
I think using a trading calculator, like XNest's Traders Calculator or Investment Calculator, it's called, the website, using one of these to figure out like how much is the spread going to be for this position, and then using a calculator, using your own calculator to total up how much is this going to be.
Like value per pip.
Yes. For the whole amount of volume that I'm planning on trading in the near future. And also I think it's very important to think about, if you're using a spread-based account, how much is this actually going to be moving over the next however long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes as a scalper that I'm going to be holding it. Is it going to be moving significantly outside the spread? And if the answer is no, then maybe you want to think about moving to a different type of account, or at least considering that.
So I'm one trader, he's a scalper, you're a scalper, and let's say I'm a long-term trader. Do you recommend to avoid the maximum costs and trading costs, do you suggest commission-based trading, you know, trading per transaction, or spread-based for long-term?
I think for long-term, probably spread-based is better, but it definitely does depend on the individual trader. You know, I can't recommend. I'm just saying, for me personally, I prefer to use commission-based account for scalping, and I prefer to use spread-based account for more term trading. But then I would stress that for anybody, you know, to consider that, to consider which one is better, you do have to crunch the numbers. You have to see like, what is my volume? How many separate positions? How many spreads? What's the size of the spreads? Which is a bit laborious, but it's worth it to do that for a while. Yeah.
Your personal trading experience, have transparent costs or opaque, non-transparent costs, let's say, have those impacted your trading or been a surprise to you that affected your trading?
Yeah, sometimes they definitely have. I mean, with swaps in particular, because some brokers I've traded with in the past, they're not very fast at updating the swaps. And when you're a new trader, you don't necessarily think about how the relationship between the rate of, I don't know, let's say the rate differential between the euro and the dollar, how that actually affects your cost to trade. And if there's been a rate hike or if there's been a rate cut, you can't necessarily rely on the broker to update the swaps in line with what it should, inverted commas, be based on that change.
Yeah, safe to say with the recent Fed cut, I'm sure most swaps are probably the same in the industry.
Yes. But at the time, not necessarily the case. I'm thinking back to like 2015, 2016, and you could see like the swap and the carry on the different sides. Although the rate is, of course, the same, the carry might be like 1/8 the size of the swap, for example, with some brokers. And it just wouldn't really reflect what the actual conditions are in the market. And then you would see, hey, why am I paying such a big swap? Because they only change the rates by 0.25%. Mm. And then you contact their support and they say, oh yeah, we meant to update that on our website, but we just didn't get around to doing it in time. Sorry.
How important would you say for traders selecting a broker, how important is it for them to be aware of charges like swaps and spreads? Do you think, would you rank that as the most important thing when choosing a broker, or are there other elements that are more important?
No, I think general trustworthiness is probably the most important factor. I mean, I would probably say general trustworthiness followed by execution, followed by just the kind of functionality in general of the platforms. This is a very important factor, like the charges, you know, spreads or commissions and swaps and carries, very important. I just wouldn't put that at the very top. Okay. Because I mean, what use is a really low spread, or what use even is a zero spread, if the broker is completely untrustworthy and is just not going to give you any withdrawals? Doesn't matter in that situation. You need the essentials first, I think, and then...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there, but how does one even identify if a broker is trustworthy? That's not so easy to prove.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're totally right. But I mean, there's certain factors. Like if a broker has audited financial records and word of mouth, if you speak to lots of other people who are trading with them as well and they haven't had any significant issues, and you test it yourself with a small amount of money, if you really feel a bit kind of paranoid about it, test it with a small amount or a small percentage of your total capital first, gradually work your way up.
Got it.
You know, all of these things I think are important. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned also what's important is the user experience and the support.
Yeah.
So tell me, what do you see as good support, let's say, for a trader?
They can get the answer. Like, they know the answer and they can get the answer to me in a way that I can understand. Because
example.
Explain. Yeah, like, I mean, because in the past, I'm not going to name names, but in the past, sometimes you ask a broker support, like, in this case, why have these swaps changed for, I think it was euro-yen a few years back. Why have these swaps changed like this? Because there hasn't been any significant change in the rates. And then silence for a few minutes. And then they say, just let me check on that and then get back to you. And okay, maybe my expectations are a little bit unrealistically high when it comes to these things, but still, I would hope that people in support could be able to give at least a general answer to something like that and explain, oh, we've recently shifted our fee structure because of this or something like that. And equally, you know, when you're asking about like other situation that happened, like during the initial phase of the lira crisis in 2017, I believe it was, and the broker I was trading with at the time just shut all positions with Turkish lira on, just shut them all down.
Euro, Turkish lira.
Yes, and dollar, everything with the lira in it, right? And didn't have any announcement, didn't have any information or anything. So I imagine the support got inundated and I feel a bit sympathetic with them, but, you know, they should be able to give some kind of accurate and also conciliatory response, because they should be able to not exactly understand what I'm feeling in that situation, but understand that, you know, if the client's got a certain amount of profitable or loss-making trades and they just get closed by the broker with no notice, yep, then they're not going to feel very happy in that situation.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, we're in this industry, you know, the brokers are dealing with emotions and mm-hmm. funds and getting answers, even if it's not the answer, it's at least just a reply. It goes a really long way. And having access to good support from an actual trading support perspective, mm-hmm. but also even educational support, I think goes a long way mm-hmm. and is very important. So that's a wrap on today's episode, Michael. We've covered some amazing insights on the importance of trading, from risk management, speed of execution, most importantly, longevity. To our listeners, if you enjoyed the episode, please make sure you follow us and share your thoughts. And lastly, Michael, for our listeners that want to get in touch with you or follow you, how can people find you?
Excellent. The social media would be the best way.
Okay.
On Instagram and on YouTube, we do weekly analytical videos featuring an idea for trading. And we also have analytical videos that focus specifically on charts. So you can follow these, particularly on Instagram and on YouTube, and also leave us a comment there.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate that. So thank you so much for listening. We would appreciate it if you could support our podcast and subscribe by leaving us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thank you.